All right, welcome back. I'm Scott J. Peterson from Liquid Daffodil here with Jeff Procise from Wintellect. It's been a long journey already. We've been through a bunch of really cool content. This last session, we did a bunch of Power BI, we did Office Graph. People have now have the ability to upload their stuff right directly to OneDrive. And I know you guys, we're getting comments, you guys are hitting the sites like crazy, and that's great. Everything out there is going great. Sometimes we've noticed some people are seeing other people's images. We've noticed that. Oh well, that happens. This is a beta.
It'll be fixed.
It'll be fixed, yeah. At some point it'll be fixed, but it's okay because what we're going to do now gives you the ability to see other people's images. We want you to see other people's images out there. In this session, we're going to talk about Azure Search and Language Understanding Intelligence Services. And I'm going to remind everybody, so I'm having a bunch of parrots back here tell me that Luis is pronounced Lewis, and it's not. So it is pronounced Lewis. It's L-U-I-S. You can even go out to Cortana or Siri and say, how do I pronounce L-U-I-S? And it'll tell you how to pronounce that if there's any questions. So if you guys are out there saying it's Lewis, 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 it's not. It's Luis. And it's Azure. So now that we're done with that, but guess what? You guys can pronounce it however you want it. I just choose to do it correctly because that's the kind of person I am. So Azure Search and Luis. Let's talk about Azure Search for a second. Azure Search is this is another Azure service that exists. It's kind of a delegated service out there that gives us the ability to connect to all sorts of data types. What we're going to be showing in our example now, we're finally bringing in a use for this DocumentDB. Remember, I mentioned DocumentDB in session 2, how it was going to exist out there. We were going to use it. You remember from our Azure function how I'm stuffing all this data into it, but we haven't seen any value from it yet. That's what I'm going to do. But we can connect to Azure SQL, SQL databases, Azure Storage, as we mentioned, Blob Storage, we mentioned. Azure Search gives us the ability to create these really cool search services. For examples that you would see all the time is if you're a Bing or Google and you want an auto suggest. When you type in characters or Netflix or whatever, you type in characters, the response is almost immediate for that. That's the kind of auto suggest kind of search experience we can have using Azure Search. But we can also have comprehensive search scenarios where just the actual search engine is running connected to that indexed data, right? In the old-fashioned days, old-school way to do this would be that I'd write a SQL statement that had a like in it, right? All customers wear name like whatever, right? And then you got to have full-text search, and that was even better. But Azure Search lets us connect, create indexes, all kinds of indexes to all kinds of data types, and manage that, not just on the front end via the portal, but then as developers, programmatically, we can do two things. We can call those services and get that data, right? So I can get the data that would be in an auto suggest. If somebody types in B-O-A, it's going to have boat, boaters, whatever, or, you know, H-A, it'll have everything that matches that. But also then send that whole value over to search and pull back, in this example, all the images that meet those criteria, because it's not just going to look for captions. To look for tags or kind of anything else. In fact, if we wanted to be crazy here, we could have even connected Azure Search to geography and had Azure search for, you know, show me all the images that were uploaded in this, radius of some geography. We could have done that. But Azure Search is super, super fast. Not only is it super fast, but it can be managed outside of the portal. This is one of the reasons why I like it, because I can manage it in code. I can create indexes in code. I can rerun indexes in code. I can add, remove data. I can do that all from code without actually ever having to go to the portal. And not only does it support your basic types that you would think of, like strings and integers, and date times, but it can support extended data types if we need it to, and this is really important. I can imagine down the road, I don't know for sure, but I can imagine down the road that we could even be searching against true objects in here eventually. So just tons to love about it. One of the things that I recommend, though, is that to get familiar with Azure Search before you start writing the code for it, that you take advantage of something cool that's in the Azure portal, which is the Azure Search Explorer. Because the Azure Search Explorer, just by the nature of the data types it has to go across, and the way that it was designed, it actually uses searching that's more like OData type searching. So you can see in this example, like the dollar sign top or dollar sign skip, these are very familiar, mostly with corporate developers, very familiar with OData type stuff. Like, for example, you would have called Microsoft Exchange back in the day, or you still could actually with some scenarios like this. And you can go through and sample these. And that's actually what we're going to do is after we set this up, this index up, we're going to go in and look at a couple of things that we can do in Azure Search through that Explorer before we plug in that code. So here's what I wanted to do. We've already created an Azure Search service. I say create in this, but we already created one because it takes a minute to provision it. I'm going to import data for indexing and set up an indexer. And then I want to go back into our app, Jeff, and I thought it'd be cool to add an auto-suggest over there so that it can auto-suggest and then return images that meet criteria over there. So then it'll show up and give us search results. So this is how we can intentionally see other people, other people's images, right? We can intentionally see other people's images.
Right.
What do you think?
I like it. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go over to the Azure portal here. But before I go into search, I want to go into our document database. This is our document DB. Actually, I'm going to close that there because I want folks to get it kind of a feel for the the data that we're indexing, right? So if I was over here in DocumentDB, this is the first time hundreds or thousands of you have actually seen DocumentDB or running it. This looks very SQL-ish to people when they see this. I could say top 10 whatever from C. C is going to map back to the collection and database that I map to. So this is going to show us actually data that's out there right now. So if you can see this screen here, I can even just bump it up a little if that helps. So this is going to pull back a group of young people playing football in a grassy yard, and there's all those strings, all that great data that's coming back. A man riding a skateboard down the ramp is getting to be a pretty common one in there from the samples. But I want you to look at all of the great data that's coming over here. So we have this ID that was created by us. We have a caption. We have all those tags. But we have a bunch of details here like these categories, people single, people many, and a score. So they're saying it's almost 88% sure that this is a picture of a lot of people. We've got this adult information here, which is helpful. This says, is there adult content in this? No. Racy content? No. And the likelihood of that, and this is helpful. And again, I think this is culture-based. And then we've got all these tags that came in with a confidence level, like they're 99.99999% sure there's grass in this picture. They're only 0.61% sure this is a group, and 0.57% sure there's soccer, right? So there's all this great information. The point is there's all this great information, even color and accent color and image type information. So they're saying this is not clip art, not a line drawing, it's not black and white. Here's the main accent color from the image, and the dominant foreground and background colors are green. So you see how we have a whole bunch of information. And if you think back to the previous four sessions, we've been moving all of this stuff over. We had an Azure SQL, then we went to Azure SQL 2016, and we got a chance to see SQL Server Data Tools, and we decided that we wanted to go into Azure Storage. We've got this stuff going to DocumentDB. In those previous scenarios, we would have had to change something every time, add new fields, create a schema, do something else to prepare for the data, or we couldn't have had the data. With DocumentDB, I get to throw all that stuff in there no matter what it looks like, and that's what it is. In fact, if you remember back to that function, what I'm getting back from that Azure function from Cognitive Services is just a big thing of JSON data, and all I'm doing is saying, bleh, you know, into DocumentDB. So we can kind of filter this down too. So I could say, let's select C.details, top 10 C.details from C, and then I could say details.adult from C. And it's going to only show me the adult stuff. And then maybe I just want to make sure that there's actually no adult content that got indexed out there. I could actually do a where clause, where c.details.adult.isAdultContent equals true, and that should return me zero results. Okay, so that's a good way to do that. So the reason that I pull us through this structure is because this is the structure that we're going to be looking at for Azure Search. We're going to want to index this. So let me go over to Azure Search. I have this new search service that's set up for Tagger. And there's a couple of ways that we can do things here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to import the data directly. And then Azure Search is going to know what that data probably looks like and let me index it based on its recommendations. So first it's going to say connect your data. And I'm going to say I want an existing data source, DocumentDB. Notice how we got blob storage in here, some other stuff. So I'm going to call this documents because I'm so clever. And I'm going to select a DocumentDB account, which is Tagger. See how simple this is. I know this database is OutDatabase. You guys called OutDatabase. You might remember this reference from our Azure function where this is called. And I know the collection is called uploads. Now I could further filter this if I want to here based on a query. So the queries that you saw me run in DocumentDB, I could put that in here and further filter that, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to bring all of that in. So that's going to say point to this data source. Now here's a secret. I can point to a bunch of data sources. I don't just have to be stuck with one data source for this. Now it's going to say create an index, and I'm going to call this index tags. And it's going to say, by the look of the data, here's what we would recommend. Here's what's consistent out here, what we could recommend. ID caption and tags. I'm actually going to make all of these retrievable, filterable, facetable, and searchable. And we don't care about those bottom ones there. And so these are going to do different things. So retrievable means I can bring it back. Filter means I can filter against it. Sortable means I can sort against it. When I mean sort against it, I'm talking about with those OData type filters and things like that. Searchable. Facetable is very similar to this concept of refinements. It's not exactly like that, but refinements. For those of you that are out there that are familiar with search engine or searching in SharePoint or Fast Search or whatever, you have this concept of refinements that you can do. These are kind of facets. And so I'm going to say okay there. And then it's going to say, how often do you want to index this? I'm just going to do it once. I'm going to call the index the same thing, tags. And I'm going to say okay. And now I'm going to go right to the Search Explorer. This isn't going to take that long. It'll take a little bit of time, but I'll just put in boat. And after a couple of tries here, eventually, you know, right now it's running the index that first time. It's importing and running the index. After I do this a couple of times, it's going to bring back some data. Doesn't really take. So there we go. 5 seconds or whatever. If I had a billion records, this would take longer. But now this is all indexed out here. Let's see if I've got a facet that I can pull up. There we go. I've got something here. So what I wanted to demonstrate, this is just straightforward. But the first question I get here, so usually developers work with this for about half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, and they say, well, how can I get some stuff like counts or the top? So we looked at getting the top in DocumentDB, but that query language is not the same. Maybe I just wanted to get the most common tags, as an example. And I want you to show me in the content, in my search results, I want you to show me where in context did this match the value? So I'm searching here for boat, and a caption says a boat in the water. I want to be able to know where you matched this, right? So this is where we're going to have the highlight. This concept of hit highlighting is taken from other search concepts. This happens if you're in Bing or Google, for example, and you put in C#. When you put in C# or Visual Studio 2017, when the search results come back to you, you'll notice that there's a visual difference in the search result where it's highlighted or bolded or background or whatever. That's the hit highlighting, that's called. Well, that'll come back with a tag now when we do this. So facets will let us sort of, it's sort of like a group by, but we can say focus, refine it on this, and I can also say count of five. This is going to bring us the top five search results, or with count, search results with boat, and it's going to organize it in the facet of tags by five to show us the top five most common tags. This seems like a long sentence. The top five most common tags for boat. So if I say search, it's going to say, if you search for boat, here's all the documents I have that found boat down below. But in the top, when I do find a result for boat, the most common tag is boat, 262. The second most common tag is water, and then large outdoor standing. So you see how we kind of get this information. This is helpful here as we get a breakdown, because this is a fairly simplified version of using this, of a facet here, but this is super, super powerful. So if we were just to just get that for everything, we could actually go out and say, you know what? All these people have downloaded images or have uploaded images. Show me what the most popular tags are. So here's the funny thing is that when we ran through this content yesterday, it was outdoor. Today it's standing. So the most common images right now, and see, this kind of stuff is not super critical, but for me, it's kind of fun to look at. Other people think it's fun to look at. These are areas that could help the marketing folks or whoever as well. So right now, the most common tag is standing, then man, then sitting, then large, table, white, people, outdoor. So outdoor dropped 9 spots now that people are uploading from all around the world. So you kind of see how that works there. So if we were to do this in our app, we'll close that there, see if we can go over to debug mode. If we were to do this in the app, I've created this little search helper. There's not a lot of code there, but I still created this little search helper. And there's 2 methods now that I have in here. One is search async, and one is get suggestions. So if we go over to our search view, I'll pull that up there. If we look at this view, I'm doing a render partial here, which I love this. So we could use components. There's a bunch of new ASP.NET core scenarios we could use here. But I'm rendering a partial for the search results. But down here, I'm just using jQuery, and I'm calling suggest async, and that's going to populate suggestions. And then when somebody selects one, it's going to load up this get search results images async and use the partial rendering engine to register search results. So the only thing that we need to add here now is the ability to get to search. You'll recall that we didn't have search in our menu yet. So we'll just pull up search there. And for those of you that are on mobile devices, we'll add that into search here. And let's take a look at those methods. In fact, just for fun, I'll just stick a breakpoint right here and right here. First time, in fact, let's do this. Let's say on get suggestions, we'll say find all references. Because remember that jQuery is going to call suggest async. I'll put a breakpoint there. It'll make the dropdown go off, but I just want everybody to see what's going to happen there. So we'll load this up, and we should have, if everything's working correctly, we should now have a search icon up in the menu. And there we go. Now if we go to search, we've got this little auto suggest box, and let's see what happens when I type in here. I'll just say B, and it's going to go over to our method. This has already gone out to Azure. And if we look at this code here, you'll see that I'm spinning up a search service, and then the index name is tags. Remember, we made that index called tags, and then I'm sending over the search query, which is just the letter B at this point, and I'm pulling back suggestions. So I'm actually going to take that breakpoint off so that we can see it pop up. So now if I say B-O-A, see, so there B, boat, bow, it's actually going out. It's that fast, going across, analyzing all that data, bringing it back, pulling that up. So now if I were to select that, it's going to bring back the search results. So I'm bringing back 50 up here. That's how fast it went out there, analyzed all the information, brought back 50. I'm only going to show 8 on the screen. And there we go. So there's 8 images of boats. So one thing that you guys should know, for about 3 days before this session, every single tweet that was tweeted on Twitter that used the hashtag MSFTConnect, I was automatically putting in our data. So this is why you see all these great Connect images out here, because people were having such a blast, so excited about Connect, that they were sending these up. Well, it looks like some of this looks like a boat to Cognitive Services. But so anyway, so now we've got all these great images that come back in our search results. Well, if we were to log in here, you guys can do this if we end up publishing it up there. If I were to log in here, then we'd have that download button that'd be available. And you can just go out and decide, you can just start looking at images from other people that upload them and save them yourself. So let's go back to the slide deck, take a look at what else we might be able to do here.
So that was very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact too that it can work across multiple data sources.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Excuse me. Cortana's actually calling me here.
Not again.
Oh my gosh. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you have no gender. I'm sorry about that. Yes. Okay. It's usually me that's asking you the questions. Okay. I actually don't know. Ring, ding, ding, ding-a-ling, ding. What does the fox say? I don't know. Okay, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll check with Jeff. Yeah. Okay. All right, bye. Okay, so Cortana says, blah, 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 blah. Here's basically what Cortana said is, the search experience that you just showed is boring. It shows the way that search experiences have been for, you know, years and years and years. Auto-suggest, auto-search, very cool, but that experience is boring. She said, I want you to use Luis, pronounce Luis. Luis, language understanding, because you know what Cortana uses for that type of service is basically Luis. It's a variation of that, but it's basically Luis. So she said, I want you to go out and get rid of that entire search experience. And I want you to replace it with one that uses Luis.
Could Cognitive Services possibly help us here?
It could. Let's just see how it might. So let's talk about language understanding. So Luis is part of Microsoft's Cognitive Services. Okay. And this is what the point that Cortana was trying to get across to me. Don't tell anybody. This is just between me and the people that are watching this session right now. If you or I wanted to go out and create Cortana ourselves, or actually Siri, which is, you know, not exactly the same, but if we wanted to go out and create Cortana ourselves, every service to create Cortana already exists out there today. Cortana is the ultimate bot. Some people actually object to that term. But Cortana is the ultimate bot. So one of the things that Cortana uses that's been surfaced up to developers is Luis. Okay? And Luis is going to provide a whole bunch of built-in logic out of the box. It's this idea, for those of you that aren't familiar with this, it's this idea that I could say, find boat images, and that it would know that I'm looking for boat images and pull out boat. But I could also say, give me some boat images, find me some ship images. Hey, can you drum me up a bunch of, like, because I'm from the South, drum me up a bunch of them there ship images. And no matter what I say, it's going to know that I'm looking for ship images or photos or whatever. And I don't want to have to write all the code for that, right? I don't want to write all the code for all those variations of what somebody might say. So Luis puts that in place for me and does that not just in English, but does it across every language, because every single language has variations in the way that things are presented to Luis and return from Luis. And depending on what part of a country you're in, you may ask for something totally different. So I can never write this code. Luis can handle this for us. So here's some quick terminology I want to go through. Just so that we're all on the same page with these terms, because if you're like me, you will stop what you're doing now and you'll pull up Luis, or you'll start following along, or when we're done with this session, you'll pull this up when you realize how cool it is, and you'll start seeing a bunch of these words. And I'm going to kind of narrow it down for you, but we're going to go and look at it. So Luis uses the terminology entities, intents, labels, utterances, training, publishing, and phrase lists. There are other things that Luis uses, but these are the ones that matter mostly. An entity is just really what you'd think of, any type of an object that you could reference, like a person or, you know, a category or something like that. An intent is what you, what a user intends to do. So in this example, if I said find boat images, the intent would be that they want to find images or search images. Okay. Labels map back to, kind of back to an entity, but not all the way. Labels will map back to something that actually gets labeled as matching something, like an entity or something from a phrase list. But an utterance is everything, the entire piece that could be said. So an utterance in that example would be find boat images. That whole thing is the utterance. Here's what people are saying. And the reason this is important, because as utterances come through, you can have Luis train Luis to understand these utterances in a different way. And then, like all of these kind of intelligence services, these analytical services, they have this idea of training models. So the same thing is happening in Luis. As we teach or train Luis to respond to different elements, here's a better way to say it. As I tell Luis what I want it to do under certain circumstance and give it the scenarios, training is the process of the Luis engine going out and saying, okay, I understand it, and now it's solid. And then when it understands that, it's been trained, then you have to publish it. And the reason that I specify this is because a lot of times, and even when I was first doing them, a lot of times I was doing this, going through the Luis process, setting up all this cool stuff, and then it wasn't working in my apps, and it's because I didn't publish it. So that you have to go through that step to publish it. This other piece I've thrown in here, phrase lists, I'm putting in because this was in preview. Now for most people it's public, but we have the ability not just to have phrase lists, but to attach pieces, attach intents back to phrase lists in a way that's pretty dynamic. So it used to be that if somebody said find boat images, I would have to know that it said boat and label boat as an entity with the intent to search an image for boat. And then if somebody said something else like frog, then I'd have to keep training and training and training. With a phrase list, I can attach these back dynamically. I can update these dynamically and train them dynamically. And we'll go in and take a look at that. So what comes back from Luis is this JSON, the structured JSON data, and there's a whole bunch of great stuff that comes back. And again, this is what Cortana uses, and our example is not going to be complicated, but these can be very complicated and very powerful. So just a very simple example here is set alarm for 3 p.m. Luis would understand the intent, which is to set an alarm, and the entities that would be for 3 p.m. If we look down in here, in the bottom, we can see how this kind of gets broken down. We actually get a lot more information than this from it. And to call this, all we're having to do, again, is call a URL. So totally cross-platform, REST-based. There are some other ways to access this. But again, I like making just an HTTP post. So here's what I want to do to make Cortana happy. I want to go out and open up a Luis application. I've actually created it, so it's already provisioned. And I want to walk through real quickly this concept of intents and entities. I want to look at an imported phrase list. So that basically what I've done, we can do this real time if we wanted to, but basically what I've done is I went out and I grabbed a distinct list of every single tag just a distinct list of tag, and that just has become a phrase list. That way, when people say find boat images, we know that boat is going to exist or it's not going to match. And we're going to train Luis to understand that, and we're going to test that and publish that out. And so I've got to integrate this in a search experience, but I'm going to go take it one step farther. This is what I thought would be cool, is if I actually stuck this in a bot and stuck the bot in our app. And so we're going to just wipe out that other search experience, and now we'll just have a search experience in a bot. So people can just type real words and real things in a bot, find boat images, right, instead of just trying to do BOA and do that drop down. What do you think? You want to go over and get that done?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's go in and look at Luis. So I've got this app, Tagger. And here's a time to make a note. If you are using, you may, depending on if you've been rolled out for it or not, you may still see up here in this green menu up top, you may see a go to preview tag here. For some people, I think this has been rolled out, some people it hasn't. If you haven't seen this go to preview, or if you don't see this go to preview tag up here, that means you're on the latest version. If you do see go to preview up here, go ahead and select it so that you can access some of the things that we're going to walk through. So here we have an intent. By default, none is set up as intent, but I have added this intent called search image. And if you're looking at your intent and down here you don't see an action parameters, the ability to select the type and value from a phrase list, that means you're not on the latest version, preview version. This is why being on the latest version matters, because what this says is I'm going to have an intent of search images that is now going to have a tag label come back that's attached to this phrase list. And the phrase list we'll look at in a second is called image tag. And since I'm going to be in a bot and want to be in like a guided conversation experience, I can even have this scenario where if something doesn't match, my app can automatically know what Luis wants to have returned as a question in that guided conversation. So in this example, I have a prompt of what kind of image. So we're not going to go through all of that, but the cool part here is this ability to attach this to a phrase list for this intent. So if I say expand this image tag here, you'll see that this is a list. A little hard to see here, but this is a list of every distinct tag that's out there that's searchable. And now we know that if it matches that, we know we have images that match it. So let's go ahead and go to publish, and this box comes up. This gives us the ability to test. So I could say, what would happen if in a bot somebody said, find boat images? What would happen there? And then I can click this. And this is what my app will get back. So I could bump that up. It's not too tough, but I could bump that up and see how great this is. So it says, I'm 98.4% sure that this person wants to search images. By what they said, I think that's what they wanted to do. And I see that what they want to search, they want to search images, and what they want to search by is boat. Okay? This is a really big deal, because all we care about actually is boat. Every single thing that comes through doesn't matter to us, because all we want to do is send boat over to Azure Search, right? That's all we care about. And so that's all we care about there. And then we also have this idea that if nothing happens, we can also have this intent of none. This says, I'm 0.1% sure that it's none. I'm 99% sure that they want to search images. Most of the time, you're going to take the intent with the highest score. There's some other scenarios where you won't, but most of the time you're going to take this intent with the highest score. Okay, so that's great. So we know that that's going to work. We could even say things like, we'll just see if this works. Find search images. I don't know if this work or not. So it did. So notice I didn't use find at all. I just said search boat images. I could say search boat photos or whatever. And it's still pretty dang sure that what I want to do is search images. Okay, so this is important there. So this is great. We can just say publish, update published application. We can just stick that out there. That means when we publish it that it's now live. But remember, we were going to put that in a bot. So I've actually created a quick bot that's a Tagger bot that is connected to Luis. Now, we're not going to go through the bot code, but one thing I'm going to tell you that's really cool with integrating bots in Luis is that we now have this new intent dialogue concept where I can just attach an entire controller, an entire class that I connect to my controller in MVC to a Luis intent dialogue. And so what can happen is when a phrase comes through, when an utterance comes through in my bot, I just pass everything over to this class file that's labeled as an intent dialogue that's connected to Luis, and all that processing will just happen in Luis. All of that will happen. So I don't have to write any code at all. So that's basically what I've done here and I've created it. But remember, we're going to put this in a web app. So there's a bunch of channels available for this. Twilio, Slack, Microsoft Teams is a new one that's available, Kik. I could have this be a Skype bot, but since we're creating this cool ASP.NET core application, we can do this with a web chat. So I can just say get embed codes, and I can just go right here and get an embed code and stick this in. And for you people that are watching at home, you could even actually go out, you can just get this secret right here. You could copy and paste this yourself, and if you wanted to at your house, stick this bot in your own code. We don't care. It'd be great. It'd be fun. You'd just be searching in images. So what we've done, what I'll do is I'll go back now to this search, and I will take this, uncomment this, and I'll take this entire legacy sort of experience out, and now when people search, they'll just do it through the bot. So I don't know if this is going to work. My guess is that it'll work, but if it does work, this is going to be really cool. So what do you think?
Worth a try. Yeah, and I think I'm liking iframes more and more. You said earlier, yeah. I kind of wondered if they were getting outdated. I was kind of thinking the same thing. I'm feeling really good about iframes right now.
Yeah. One of the things that people who model solutions actually like about iframes is it makes it more difficult to cheat and overwrite styles and stuff like that. You can still do it, but it makes it harder for people to see
isolated.
What's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's more isolated. It's an isolated
component. So let's see if this works. So it should be just a matter of putting that. I think it was an iframe, right?
Yeah, so this is. So
just
I actually...
sticking the iframe in a view.
I stuck that iframe, basically, that I got from the bot framework. I just stuck that iframe in the view. And so what we should see, if I did it right, Jeff, is when I go to search, instead of seeing that drop down, I should actually see a cool bot experience connected to Luis. So I do, so it's great. So I just want everybody to stop for a second and understand what's happening here and what's gonna happen. So we're in an ASP.NET Core application where we've got a bot that's connected to Luis, that's connected to Azure Search, that's connected to DocumentDB, that's connected to object storage, right? You see all those working parts? It wasn't very hard, but you saw those working parts. So I get to this bot experience, and it's saying, hi, I'm Tagger. Say hi if you'd like to chat. And because I'm polite, I will say hi. And my bot says, try searching for common tags or categories such as house, man, puppy. Here's an example, find boat images. See how this is a better search experience? And just for the record, this is an extremely simplified bot experience. This can get crazy, but it's such a cool, simple experience. So now I can take their recommendation and I could say find boat images. And if this is working, what should happen is it should bring back 8 or 10 boat images. But what I'm hoping it brings back is the caption and the tags too. That would be really cool. And then let people click on them, and then they can click on them and just save them right from there. So let me do that, find boat images. And look at that, holy smokes, it found all those boat images. We see that it's got them captioned. We see all the tags for them. We could click on one and get to the live image. So you'll notice that that's actually going out to blob storage. You see that there? That's coming right from that blob storage. That's just a beautiful experience. It's just really a beautiful experience.
I'll say it is. Yeah, what impresses me is how little work it took to do that. So, I don't know. What else can we do here? Is there anything left to do after all of this?
I don't know. So really what we've done is we've gone through 5 sessions now. Oh, crud. Okay, so I'm actually happy to hear from him. So it looks like Scott Guthrie is calling through again. He's still watching, I guess. Yes, sir. Yeah. No, we were just wondering what we should do next. I mean, we have an entire session. Uh-huh. Well, what I'm saying is we didn't really plan on that. Like, we haven't walked through that. We don't know if that's actually going to work. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, your redness. Yes. All right. Great. Okay, so asked and answered, I guess. So once again, Scott Guthrie said, great, cool, wonderful. Basically, he said, this is about the coolest demo I've ever seen. He said, but can any of this run on Linux? And here's what he wants.
Okay.
He wants not just us to push this all out to Linux, but he wants the data on Linux. He wants us to move the data to Linux, SQL Server for Linux. So not only will I do it because Scott Guthrie asked me to, and he's a nice guy, and I'm a nice guy, but this would be really cool to see if we can do this. Because imagine if we take this whole big complicated solution now, and we take this whole thing, and we just say, send it to Linux.
This,
and it's just going to work, send it to Linux, and move all the data to Linux. And then there's zero dependencies now on anything Windows.
So let me one-up that a little bit.
Okay.
What if we also ran it inside a Docker container hosted in Azure on Linux?
Holy smokes. Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm up for it. I mean, what do we have to lose at this point?
That's right. We have one session left. What I would suggest, Scott, is that we take a 10-minute break. We figure out how in the world we're going to do this.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and give it a shot.
Okay, great. All right, folks. We'll see you back here in 10 minutes for the grand potential finale